97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Hopefully you don't know anybody in the upper coast of Florida there. Heard somebody refer to it as like the bend of Florida or something like that. I just always thought of it as the panhandle. This is hitting down around just east of Destin is where this storm is expected to kind of come ashore. And it's going to be a mess. They're going to get some storm surges, and hopefully this is their last big hurricane of the season.
You know, I like the idea of living in Florida, of course, under the leadership of Ron DeSantis, but yes. I could not live there. I mean, not only do you have the heat and the humidity in the summer, but then you're just dealing with all these hurricanes.
The insurance
is then an issue because of that.
Yeah, the prices are hurting right now at some condo owners in Florida because of insurance problems.
Right.
And inspection problems after that collapse.
Well, no insurance company is really wanting to go in and insure people, right? Because
Correct.
Of all the flooding and the concern with the hurricanes. Exactly what's playing out right now is the concern.
Yeah, very true. Very true. We are going to check in on that. If there's any new developments, we just held a news conference a bit earlier about the hurricane coming into Florida. But coming up, we're going to talk about that Senate report on the Trump shooting attempt there in Butler. And, of course, the one that just happened in Florida as well. Lots of reaction from the Senate this morning to that. And a lot of it bipartisan. A very strong statement by the legislature there to what's happened here. Maybe the lack of progress. We're going to talk to Taylor Riggs coming up shortly. And Steve Shankman is going to call in about the Evolution Festival that is coming up. They've obviously lost one of their main bands. They've replaced that. And it's going to be a pretty exciting time if you're planning to go to that. We have all the details from Steve coming up here before the end of the hour. Carl, do you know the movie Soylent Green?
I do, yeah.
What was it about?
It was about a food crisis shortage in the future.
Yes, and you were told that the Soylent Green you were eating was made of plankton.
Yeah.
Only to find out it was really made of dead bodies. Remember that?
Yes.
Somebody wrote in and said that I am confusing Soylent Green with Logan's Run.
Logan's Run is where I think it's because you said the age 35.
Ah, okay.
But because that was a dystopian future where everyone had to die by the age of 35.
Okay. All right.
These both sound like terrible movies.
Yeah, well, they were both made in the 70s. There were a lot of terrible movies in the 70s.
Well, there's a lot of terrible movies today, actually. I would almost argue the movies back then were better than the ones today.
Not those.
If you missed the tail end of the last segment, we were talking on Kim on a Whim about this pod that they're using over in like Switzerland for people to commit suicide.
Yep.
And it's a pretty disturbing story, to be quite honest with you. But right now, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Because they're going to take over a lot more than Aurora. They're going to go through Colorado.
I don't know what's happening, Carl.
He sounds kind of cool.
You're listening to us somewhere.
Okay, let's try this one more time. Here we go.
No.
What is happening?
I've shut down everything on my computer. I don't think it's me.
Is it gone?
I think it's something on the board.
Yeah, hippies. See, this was from the 70s also.
Oh, my God!
I don't have a window open on my computer right now, so I don't know what's happening. I'm very confused. Why don't you go?
Hi, everyone. Luke, I am your father.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't, like, mess with the board while the show's on.
That's an idea.
Thanks, Jay.
I will tell you one time.
Yeah, it's coming off.
I can't take you seriously.
I came in for a weekend show. I think it was a weekend. No, it was my midday show. And they had a button on the board that used to, the Glover show used to hit it, and he could sound like the devil. It was a devil voice. It would modify his voice to sound like the devil.
I was going to say, what does the devil sound like?
And somehow that button had been pushed before we got in the studio, and the first 5 minutes of my show, I sounded like the devil, and I didn't know why. It's something like this. So, are we going to be able to get to the short list, or what do we think?
Oh, yeah, we are. I'm seeing if I can reset you, Mark, just in case. because, you know,
I don't think
not?
It's my computer because I have nothing else on over here.
It is your, oh, it says listen only. Who messed with this?
I can't wait for it to happen again.
Well, you know, we just got a new board in the studio. That's probably contributing to part of the issue here.
Do people know what a board is, or is that just lingo?
Oh, a soundboard,
It's all the fancy buttons and knobs that Carl moves up and down
the audio
to make
board
the audio
just
work.
Just got
replaced,
which is what's caught us by surprise with the echo.
All right, let's try it. Let's try it now. Ready?
Yes.
And try this.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
What is significant is that 2 months ago, Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, sold 2,000 shares of Visa worth at least $500,000.
Wow. I'm sure it's just coincidence that Visa was just announced that they're being investigated and their stock dropped. Isn't that weird?
When I came to office as president, Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it, and I did.
Yes, you did, at a very high cost, you did. That was Joe Biden with his farewell speech that somebody else wrote for him to the UN.
I've been very clear. I think we should eliminate the filibuster for Roe, and we need and get us to the point where we have 51 votes.
Her words, she'd said it to an NPR affiliate that she wants to get rid of the filibuster so she can be dictatorial if she becomes president.
Well, despite multiple efforts to prevent it, death row inmate Marcellus Williams has been executed.
Yeah, Mandy Murphy there, Channel 2, reporting on that last night. The governor gave him no relief, and the Supreme Court did not either, because he was guilty, as established by a jury many, many years ago in Alicia Gale's death. And they put him to death at 6 o'clock last night.
Well, and what I hear being talked about so much on the local media outlets is how, you know, well, despite the fact that the victim's family was saying they don't want him to be put to death and instead want him to have life in prison without parole, and they say even the prosecutor wanted that. Well, I understand that, but ultimately it's not up to them. That was what a jury decided his sentence would be, and that's therefore what was carried out.
So we should go back and moderate the sentence now because the family disagreed with it then. No, the death sentence was handed down. It was carried out yesterday, as it should have been many years ago. But somehow we've allowed folks to kind of disrupt the system.
Well, and that's justice for Marcellus Willie, or I'm sorry, for the Felicia Gale, who did not get a vote in what she would like to see done to this victim.
That's right.
Or this suspect, rather.
Very good point. She was stabbed to death 37 times, I believe. Coming up, we're going to talk to David Spunt. Some reaction coming out of the U.S. Senate in regards to reports on the attempted assassinations twice now of Donald Trump. We're going to get to that when we come back. All right, welcome back. You know, we've been talking a lot about the attempted assassinations on Donald Trump's life. Seems hard to believe the last one was a little over a week ago, and in large part, there doesn't seem to be daily coverage of it anymore. Now, a report has come out to the Senate regarding this, and David Spunt with Fox News has been reporting on this story today. David, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a few minutes. So this the Senate action that I heard about yesterday was pretty bipartisan, wasn't it?
It was bipartisan. This is something you rarely see in Washington anymore, but it's nice to see when bipartisanship happens. But yes, it is. It's a bipartisan Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. They went through 2,800 pages. They did 12 interviews with Secret Service personnel. And that's in addition to talking to local law enforcement. And this is a scathing report. Senator Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat from Connecticut, said 2 weeks ago, he told us, he told me, that people would be shocked and appalled by this report. And there is a lot in this report that's very, very telling.
Like what? I mean, give us some examples. Is it understaffing? Is it lack of direction? What are they accused of here?
So a lot of it boils down to communication problems and poor preparation. I think kind of the theme is that nobody named anybody here in this report. So despite senators asking specific names and questions about who was in charge of what, they all said it was a joint effort and everybody kind of went in separately, but did not reveal any names or spill any beans when it comes to names. But it says the United States Secret Service, did not give state or local partners any specific instructions for covering that AGR building. That's where the shooter, the 20-year-old, was positioned when he took the shots, and he killed a man named Corey Comparatore. We don't want to forget about him, and injured and almost killed a former president and injured two others. Also said that Secret Service agents provided contradictory or incomplete information. Some of it ran counter to responses from other U.S. Secret Service personnel. So a lot of them were kind of contradicting each other. This one stood out in my mind. In an interview with the committee, a Secret Service counter-sniper leader was asked, did the thought, and this is a quote, did the thought even cross your mind that you should inform someone to keep the protectee, meaning Donald Trump, from going on stage? Or if he was already on stage, take him back. Did that thought even cross your mind? The answer was, the thought did not cross my mind. It was more find out what's happening, figure out what's happening. Can we help? Can we take action? That's, you know, when all the chaos was going on. I don't want to give everybody too much information here because it can be a lot, but just one more, if I can say, or two more, I think, that are important. The drone operator told the committee that he requested more information. Those requests were denied. Another drone operator was only on the job 3 months and had technical issues and called a toll-free number to try to get help with the drone. I mean, this is stuff that was going on at the rally. And wow. A Butler police officer said that the walkthrough with Secret Service was incredibly disorganized, people just milling about. I felt like there was no plan. And I do have to just, you know, be fair and add the Secret Service statement. This is from Anthony Guglielmi, the chief of communications. He said, you know, many of the insights gained from the Senate report will align with the findings from our mission assurance review and are essential to ensuring that what happened on July 13th never happens again. And he ends with, former President Donald Trump is receiving the highest level of protection that the U.S. Secret Service can provide, and we will continue to evaluate and adjust our specific protective measures and methodology based on each location and situation. So, tough report for the Secret Service.
Well, yeah, but the concerning part is, even if they have enough resources, it seems like they're not using them well. Like, if they're not communicating, no matter how many agents are there working an event, for example, if they're not communicating, it seems like we're going to run into this issue again.
Well, the Secret Service released their own internal report last week, or a summary of their internal report last week, and they noted that it wasn't so much a resource issue, but it was a communication issue. It was a communication breakdown. So that's something that they're aware of. And to the credit of the Secret Service acting director, Ronald Rowe, he's held multiple press conferences. He's taken many questions. He's come out full stop and said, listen, we made a mistake, and I'm here, and I was brought on to correct those mistakes. And I've spoken to Secret Service rank and file who are in the field, and they feel confident that this guy's the right guy.
David, I know you got to go because you got to do your regular job. We appreciate your time this morning.
Oh,
thank
no
you.
No problem. No, it's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Yeah, David Spunt, of course, with Fox News covering the story this morning. Yeah, the Senate voted unanimously to order immediate fixes to this problem, right? If it's a funding issue, get it funded. In other words, they weren't, you know, particularly Blumenthal. I'll have to say, it surprised me a little bit because he's always been one of the more partisan Democrats up there on Capitol Hill.
I think that's a good thing that they're making changes, as they should. But again, my concern would be, what are they doing to fix the communication issue specifically? Because just increasing the budget might not necessarily fix that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, if it's a manpower issue, give them more manpower. But I can't help but to believe that they couldn't have done more had they wanted to. I think there was a lack of a sense of urgency on the part of the Secret Service. And that's kind of what I think they need to look into a little bit further. Why was the attitude so lax when it came to that? I don't know. Hey, guess what? Taylor Riggs coming up from the Fox Business Network, the Big Money Show. We'll talk to Taylor when we come back. Stay tuned.
The entirety, almost, of my generation, along with the two generations that followed, have fallen victim to America's unchecked obesity crisis and over 170 comorbidities that go along with it. I don't know about you, but I've watched my friends jabbing themselves every day with fertility drugs, praying for a pregnancy. My friends getting up at the crack of dawn to get radiated where the lump was found in their breast. My friends swallowing fistfuls of pills to manage their debilitating anxiety and depression. The decades between 1980 and now didn't beget a genetic quantum leap in which our DNA inexplicably mutated to make American bodies expand and fall ill at an unprecedented pace. And while Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z have our problems, 75% of us are not stupid, weak, or lazy. So hopefully you are wondering what has happened to us.
Yeah, that's Jillian Michaels. She testified before a committee yesterday talking about big pharma and big farms and all of these things that have combined to affect the food in this country that has affected our health over the years.
To my parents' credit, I mean, this is the mindset that I was taught.
Yeah.
The concern with big pharma and the chemicals that are in our food and this, you know, everyone's all into diet this or diet that. And it's causing all of these, a lot of these diseases that we're seeing now and other health concerns.
And obesity problems and all of that. Well, tell you what, let's go ahead and get to Taylor Riggs, please. I've got her on the phone right here from the Big Money Show. Taylor, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show, as always.
It's great to have you on. I don't mean to drag you into the whole obesity issue here, but if we all ran as much as you did, we wouldn't have that problem.
Well, there's a new product out on the market, Ozempic. Novo Nordisk stock loves Ozempic, but I am not recommending that at all. Good old-fashioned exercise should do it.
Yeah, I just had to play that because I teased it earlier about Jillian Michaels on there testifying about this yesterday. She had some pretty strong comments on what has led to obesity over the last 30 or 40 years in this country. It's amazing.
I mean, it is. And when you think about, too, RFK Jr.'s, some of his comments about make America healthy again. You know, when we think about economics, it's not something that factors into economics on a day-to-day basis, not something that we think about when we look at the markets or the debt or the deficit. But I think long-term, when we think about the health of our country and our population and taking care of our own citizens and wanting to do right by Americans, especially those on the lower income spectrum, it has to be something that comes into the conversation about how we are feeding and you know, what sort of liquids we're giving to our future generation.
Yeah, it's I appreciate you rolling with the punches there. I know we didn't really tell you what we were going to talk about, but I thought that was an interesting interview yesterday. I do think you'll know something about this one. This is from Ariel Zilber with the New York Post on their website yesterday, talking about Visa. Listen to this.
Nancy Pelosi's husband sold shares of Visa a little bit more than 2 months ago. And the news is kind of significant now because we just learned today that the Justice Department has filed an antitrust lawsuit against Visa. Visa is being investigated or has been investigated the last few years over alleged anti-competitive practices as it relates to the debit card business.
Nothing to see here. I mean, I don't know that the two are connected. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not people in Congress should be able to even their family trade in the stock market because they have access to information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, you know, really gets under my skin about this is there's been a few coincidences with him and Nancy Pelosi. Bigger picture, though, when Americans sit at home and they feel like the system is rigged against them, that the traders at Goldman Sachs are always going to beat them at the game, that people in Congress are always going to make money at the expense of Americans at home, this is how people get really upset. Because we're all sitting at home. We don't know what the DOJ is going to do. We don't know if he knew or not. And I certainly do not want to accuse him of selling in anticipation of this, that we are innocent until proven guilty. But this speaks to the broader issue of Americans at home who can't feed their families. Grocery prices are up 20%. The labor market's starting to slow. And then you hear conversations about what's going on with the Pelosi's. And then that's when Americans feel really upset, like this system is rigged. I am a huge proponent of having, individual stock trading bans on members of Congress.
Yeah.
They have way too much information. They should not, or their families, be allowed to trade individual stocks. And this is why it creates the appearance of lying and cheating.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, digging into specifically what Visa did, right? This monopoly that they were having, and they were basically making it difficult. If companies were going with other companies, like, say, MasterCard, they would penalize them, basically. I mean, you have to wonder how often this is happening with other companies aside from just Visa.
Yes, right. So on first look, you look at this and, you know, we are all for fair practices. But I saw this and I'm thinking, this is what the DOJ wants to go after. They want to go after your debit card and fees on your debit card. Do we not have so many other bigger fish to fry?
Yeah.
This feels like we are living in, you know, a country right now that is, it hates business and is so antitrust. Every time you want to try to get, you know, the Kroger Albertsons deal done, right? It's the FTC or the DOJ or federal investigators that are saying, no, you can't do the deal. It's an antitrust violation. Or you have Lena Khan at the FTC trying to break up every deal that's done. Of course, I am pro competition, but I was looking at this. Again, I don't know all the details, but it was about either creating incentives if you do use the Visa platform more, and then what the DOJ is accusing them of doing is then punishing people who do not use the platform. So, again, we have to go through the complaint and read more. Visa shares were reacting a little bit to the news last night and this morning, but I think big picture, we have a lot of other things that we could really be focusing on in this country.
Yeah, Taylor, speaking to people throwing their weight around, what do you think happy hour was like at John Deere last night after Donald Trump said he was going to put a 200% tariff on their company if they move those jobs to Mexico?
I have heard very mixed thoughts on this. So a lot of economists come out and they think they don't like the policy of targeting one specific company, right? You don't want to go after Deere. What I think people like to hear, though, is that Trump is saying, if you do not make products in America, you have to pay for that. Deere is a company that has closed down a few facilities in Iowa. They're right. Thinking of moving that production to Mexico. That means those people at that plant in Iowa will be losing their jobs. So this is another example of the president, the former president, saying, if you do that, there are consequences. I think people don't like that they're sort of targeted to one specific company here or there. But the broader idea, I think, is the message and the narrative within his platform that really resonates with people. They want their jobs in the U.S.
That's a good point. And it just happened to be a very current example of some of that problem we're facing. Taylor, we're out of time, but we always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll be watching on the Big Money Show. It airs every weekday from noon Central there on the Fox Business Network. All right, a quick break here. We've talked about the Evolution Festival that's coming to St. Louis next week. We're going to get Steve Shankman from Contemporary. He'll join us on the phone here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. How about that? That is Billy Idol. I know you know that voice. He's going to be one of the many performers at the Evolution Festival coming up in Forest Park on this weekend on the 28th. And right now we got Steve Shankman on the phone from Contemporary, and he's helping put all this on. Steve, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. It was great to run into you here the other day, and I'm glad we could get you on the radio.
Yeah, great to be here. Evolution Festival, Saturday, Sunday. 28 acts. I mean, we're looking at acts like Beck on Saturday, The Killers on Sunday. You mentioned Billy Idol. He's subbing in for Blondie. And then we got a great sub, from Rage at the Machine. I mean, you know, everything can change, and that's just like the weather. We had this bad forecast for the weekend. Now we're starting to get this good forecast, mid-70s. It's going to be a great time in Forest Park, no doubt about it.
Yeah, the temperature should be perfect for something like this. You never really know this time of year, right?
No, well, end of September is definitely better than last year when we sat out there in 100 degrees.
Oh,
so
man.
Get your tickets, though. Tickets are going fast. They'll be on sale at the site today. The box office opens today at the site. Go see Cindy. She's there selling tickets right next to the tennis courts. So we're in Langenberg Field. We're Saturday. We're Sunday. Doors open at 1. Take time. Come out early to the park. Go see the zoo, my favorite spot, or the art museum or the history museum. And then once you come in, you're going to see exhibits. We got this Chuck Berry house. First time ever seen. It's a tribute to Chuck Berry's 100th birthday, which is coming up, the anniversary of his birthday. And it's got one of his cars, I think the one from Hail Hail Rock and Roll, guitars, all of his memorabilia. We got other exhibits. We got great food. We got everything from hamburgers and hot dogs, the usual, to barbecue and all kinds of other great foods coming in from not only St. Louis, but from all over the country. And just, you know, three stages. it's just going to be a great week, and we're seeing this weather clear out because of the hurricane. Looks like it's going to go the opposite direction, so we're really very excited.
Yeah, what I know there are lots of experiences people can get while they're there besides the food. Like there's one for Rocky Patel Cigars and some great foods, right? A barbecue by James Boatwright. Are those part of the VIP experience?
Yes, and part of the GA experience. So okay. If you got a GA ticket or you got a VIP Plus, I encourage VIP or encourage GA Plus. You get VIP gets the better bathrooms and more access to the VIP area, which is over by the boathouse, which is a great area for activations, for food, for demonstrations. You mentioned James, the barbecue man, but also we have lit cigars. We also have Anheuser-Busch with a brewmaster. A lot of activities, three stages. Once you get there, the music doesn't stop. It's all about the experience. I know you can go to a concert at Riverport or one of my other places where I did shows for many years, but the experience people had last year was incredible. Easy to get in, easy to get out. Metrolink's right there. Tickets on sale. I think it's $189.50 for 2 days. You pay $200 for 3 hours sometimes. This is for 2 days. This is the St. Louis Festival. This is what everybody wanted. When Lou Fest went out of business, bring us a new festival. So Steve and Joe Litbag and Jeff Jarrett and all the talent really are pushing this hard, but it's worth coming. I'll be there. You'll be there. And Dave Murray, he'll be in tomorrow night, our weatherman.
Yeah.
From St. Louis. He'll be calling the weather, and right now he's calling for things clearing out after Friday night.
I paid almost that much to see Sammy Hagar, and you got to go see him for free, Steve. That's not fair.
Well, Sammy and I go back a long way. I remember driving him out in the Trans Am at Super Jam. So we go a long way back, me and the Red Rocker.
Wow, yeah. That ought to be a lot of fun. So Forest Park this weekend, evolutionfestival.com is the website. People can get on there and buy their tickets right online and get them while you can, right?
Right, because, you know, all the information's on the website, but again, social media, follow social media, it'll give you all the instructions you need. Buy tickets. Like I said, the chair experience is a little more expensive, but we wanted to make room for people, and last year people were spread out all over, and that's great for a festival if you have the space, but we got a limited amount of space, even though we have the whole field and all those stages and tents and the marketplace. Yeah. But it is about having a great time. The people that came last year, whether they knew some of the bands, all of the bands had a great time. The Killers, I'm looking forward to. Obviously, Nile Rodgers and Chic. I can't wait to see Billy Idol. It's been a long time since he's been to town. So we got country, we got pop, we got rock, we got rhythm and blues. There's something for everybody. Come out, have a great time. Don't miss this year.
Steve Shankman, we appreciate having you on. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thank you.
Yep.
See you there, Mark.
Good luck with it. Steve Shankman there, coming up on the Evolution Festival this weekend. All right. As you hear from the music, we're out of time. Kilmeade's up next, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great Wednesday.
Get more at 971talk.com.